Let me start by giving an introduction. Particle physics starts with Standard Model, and for the last two decades, it has also ended with Standard Model. The Standard Model works really well. It, using the principle of gauge invariance, it can explain three of the four forces in nature. But in order to give mass to these gauge bosons, without giving up the principle of gauge invariance, we have to go through what is called electroweak symmetry breaking. And at the heart of electroweak symmetry breaking is a particle called Higgs boson. So unfortunately, Higgs boson is the only missing piece in the Standard Model. So how do we look for the Higgs boson? We collide particles at high energy. And this is, I took this from the CDF Higgs webpage. So it says the favorite hangout is Tevatron. Unfortunately, it's not true. So this is before LHC started running. So the yellow curve comes from the electroweak precision measurements. And this does not include the direct search constraints. And this is telling you that electroweak precision measurements prefer light value of Higgs boson. And then this constraint from LEP, which collides E plus E minus, producing Z, which then radiates off Higgs. And because only low mass Higgs is accessible, you have Higgs decay into BB bar or tau plus tau minus. And this gives a constraint. This search gives a constraint of MH greater than 114 GeV. So this gray region is excluded. And there's a small region excluded by Tevatron, which I'll not go into because it has become irrelevant. So how is Higgs boson produced at hadron colliders? So this is a plot of cross-section for Higgs production as a function of MH for LHC at 70 eV. So the dominant Higgs production channel is gluon fusion. Somehow the figure didn't come out right. Even though this is loop suppressed, because it has strong coupling and large top Yukawa coupling, it more than makes up for the loop suppression, and it is a dominant process. However, for low mass region, this channel cannot be used because of large backgrounds. So for low mass regions, you prefer the Higgs production in association with W or Z bosons. So this is the cross-section for production in association with W. And then there's also...
You mean just for the BB bar that came out? People look for gamma-gamma and just the inclusive cross-section, right?
But gamma-gamma is still...
Small. Or what? What do you mean?
I mean, for this region?
Yeah.
Usually people... For BB bar... Yeah, for BB bar... You look at associated production for gamma gamma. I mean, you do still look for associated production.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, like right now, the dominant, the most sensitive channel is an inclusive production channel as far as setting on its own standard model
thing. Yeah. And for larger mass range, the production from WZ fusion also becomes important. And then there's also associated production with TT bar. And it's also important to know how the Higgs decays. So for small mass, which I define less than twice of Z mass, the Higgs primarily decays to BB bar and tau plus tau minus. Of course, this decay to BB bar has very large background. And so you usually look for associated production with W. For more intermediate Higgs mass range, you look at WW star, star meaning off shell W, ZZ star, and gamma gamma. Gamma gamma is loop suppressed, but it is also a clean channel. And for large Higgs masses, you look at Higgs decay into WW and ZZ. And this is where most of the exclusion region comes from the LHC. So what can LHC tell us about the Higgs boson? So LHC is an incredible machine. It has collected 5 inverse femtobond data in 1 year, running at square root of S equals 70 eV. And just to give you an idea how awesome these numbers are, this blue region is the Tevatron exclusion, and this orange region is the LHC exclusion, starting from 140 GeV to 480 GeV. And so that leaves very narrow window for the standard model Higgs boson. And hopefully we'll hear something tomorrow about 125 GeV. So the next question to ask is, what happens to the Higgs production when you go beyond standard model? And in this talk, I'll focus on minimal supersymmetric extension of the standard model. And as you saw, the title of my talk is bottom gluon going to bottom Higgs. So why is this even relevant compared to, let's say, gluon fusion? So a brief outline of my talk. I'll start by motivating the reason behind studying BG going to BH. Why is this relevant in MSSM? Then I'll discuss two parton flavor number schemes, which I use in the calculation, 4 flavor number scheme and 5 flavor number scheme. Then I'll talk about large tan beta radiative corrections. I'll define what tan beta is. And the main topic of this talk is SQCD corrections and what is called the delta B approximation. The delta B approximation is used by the experimentalists when they give you exclusion plots. So we wanted to study, is this delta B approximation, which you get in 1 minute, can this substitute for the full supersymmetric UCD calculations? So let me briefly remind you the MSSM Higgs sector. So for the super potential to be holomorphic, you require 2 Higgs doublets, which means 8 degrees of freedom, two of which, on symmetry breaking, go to CP even Higgs, 1 to CP odd Higgs, 2 to charge Higgs, and 3 to the Goldstone bosons. And tan beta I define as the ratio of up and down type Higgs. So in MSSM Higgs sector, the MSSM Higgs sector is very predictive in the sense that at least at the tree level, all the parameters can be defined in terms of 2 independent parameters. So which are usually chosen to be the mass of the CP odd Higgs and tan beta. So for example, the mass of the neutral Higgs bosons is given by this expression. And you can see that it only depends on MA and the angle beta. And similarly for the charged Higgs. And there's another parameter in Higgs sector, alpha, which diagonalizes the Higgs mass matrix. And again, it only depends on MA and the angle beta. A useful limit in MSM is called the decoupling limit when MA is much, much greater than MZ. And if you plug in this condition into the equation, you get beta minus alpha is pi over 2. So why is the decoupling limit interesting? So if you look at the couplings of the Higgs bosons with the fermions. So these are normalized with respect to the standard model. So you get these expressions. And when you apply the decoupling limit, you find that for the CP, for the light CP even Higgs, the coupling is the same as standard model. And hence the name standard model like Higgs. So you can also write down the couplings with the gauge bosons, and you find the same thing, that it's just like the standard model Higgs boson. Because when MA is large, the three Higgs bosons decouple from the Higgs sector. So then you may conclude that the production cross section would be the same as standard model, and the channels for the production would also be the same as standard model. So this decoupling limit actually works for MA of, let's say, 200 GeV and tan beta greater than 7. So even under these conditions, the same conclusions hold. So that is true. Yes, that's true. So MA has to be, but I'm saying is that what you're saying would make sense when MA is really small. So MA greater than 200 GeV, it would still work. So this is around 10. So if you make it, I'll explain this later. So this is the current status of MSM parameter space, probably outdated. So this is a plot of tan beta versus in the plane of tan beta and MA. And the green region is excluded by LEP because for small tan beta, the Higgs is small, the Higgs mass is small, so it can be produced at LEP. But for large tan beta, it's still allowed. And the Tevatron exclusion comes from looking at the decay of Higgs to down type fermions, because again, there's a tan beta enhancement, especially if you're in the low MA region. But as you go to high MA region, it behaves standard model like, so exclusion is difficult. So this parameter space of large MA and tan beta around 10 is still not excluded and interesting parameter space to study. So assuming the allowed parameter space, it seems that the MSM lightest CP even Higgs production should be identical to standard model. Then the question is why and under what conditions is production of Higgs in association with bottom quarks important? For large tan beta, the bottom Yukawa coupling gets significantly modified. Even though at tree level it is standard model-like, but when you include the radiative corrections, it causes Yukawa to rescale by a factor of as much as 3, which means the cross-section can rescale by a factor of 9. And even though this is not the decoupling limit, but in this parameter space, the dominant Higgs production mode is in association with bottom quark. But even if, when you go towards decoupling limit, it is still an important process to study. It is still significant compared to gluon fusion.
Sorry, that last bullet point, are you counting both Higgses in that cross section, or is this specifically for the lighter Higgs?
This is for the lighter Higgs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for For the heavy Higgs, it would be significantly enhanced because of tan beta. So now I'll explain the two parton schemes which we use in the calculation, the four flavor number scheme and the five flavor number scheme. So that depends on what you're measuring in your final state. So you have B, B bar, H production. And if you're looking at the exclusive B bar H production, which means you're tagging both the bottom quarks, that is, you impose some PT cut. Then there is semi-inclusive production, where at least one bottom quark is tagged. And then there's inclusive when no bottom quark is tagged. Inclusive modes have the advantage that they have larger cross sections, but they also have larger backgrounds. The B tagging will reduce the background, but then it will also reduce the signal. So a good compromise is a semi-inclusive mode where you tag one bottom quark. So this semi-inclusive mode will be the focus of my talk. So four parton flavor number scheme means you have four light partons as the initial state, in the initial state, up, down, charm, strange, but no bottom quark. The advantage is this is the only scheme where you can calculate the exclusive production. And I will explain why. The drawback is if you look at this diagram, there would be collinear logs coming from these two vertices. And so the mu is the scale of interaction which you can take to be the mass of Higgs. And so the perturbation theory is not in alpha s, but in alpha s times this large logarithmic factor. So in other words, this scheme is a fixed order perturbation theory. There's no resummation, which is a drawback. So to address this problem of collinear logs, we have this five parton flavor number scheme. So what it does is it replaces this G gluon BB bar splitting with an initial state bottom quark. And these lambda B logs are resummed, and they're absorbed in the bottom quark PDF. So this is replaced by one initial state bottom quark PDF. And the perturbation theory is rearranged so that the perturbation is now in alpha s and inverse power of lambda b, which converges very fast. So, but this also has a drawback that you cannot use this for exclusive B-bar-H production.
Sorry, are you just doing this replacement on one of the gluons to get the B glue to BH? Or would you have to do it on both?
I mean, once you're using this scheme,
yeah,
you would be doing it for both.
Okay.
Because you're assuming that this would be collinear. This is an approximation.
In the flat flavor number scheme, you still have gluons, right?
Yes, you do.
So
that would be double counting.
You could also write down the one blue, one B diagram.
You mean gluon? You mean this diagram?
I mean the B glue to BH diagram.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out where B glue to BH fits in. If you're getting to it, sorry.
Yes, I'll get into that.
Okay.
So this is.
So, that diagram.
Yeah. So this is to summarize the four flavor number scheme and five flavor number scheme. So for four flavor number scheme, you do not have initial bottom quark, and you're going to use these two diagrams. For and of course, you can do calculations for all the three processes, but these two would give you bad results because of the large logs. With the five flavor number scheme, you don't want to use this diagram because 5-flavor number scheme is inherently assuming that this would be collinear. So, and this bottom quark is tagged. It has high PT, so it is justified to use this gluon VB bar vertex. Does that explain your?
Yes, but I guess if you can tag one B quark, you can tag two B quarks.
Yes.
It seems like you could also apply the 5-flavor number scheme to the fully exclusive process.
Yes.
With two tagged B quarks.
Yes.
And should get the same answer to within some uncertainty, which would,
yes,
which would be an uncertainty, which would be an indication of the fractional uncertainty associated with either scheme. Is that right?
Yes. So okay, that is my next slide.
Very good.
So even though we expect that they would not match at leading order, but when you do the calculation for glu-glu going to BB bar H and BB bar going to H, and you're not tagging the bottom quarks, and if you do NLO and NLO calculations, ignore this matched, you actually do find reasonably good agreement. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What if you tag both B quarks?
If you tag both B, then you cannot use the 4-flavor number scheme. I mean, you can, but it would give you so you're saying you're tagging
both B's.
Yeah. So the 4-flavor number scheme is resumming these logs. And when you're tagging, there are no logs.
Right.
Yeah. So it's
is
not.
Is there a difference in the normalization of a gluon PDF relative between the two schemes? Or is everything but the BPDF exactly the same?
I think there should be. So let me go to the radiative corrections now, the large tan beta radiative correction. So we follow an effective Lagrangian approach. The first term is allowed by the supersymmetry at tree level, but you cannot have conjugates, not at the tree level. But you can generate these terms at the one loop level. So, for example, consider this effective BB bar H. So you integrate out the gluinos and the spottums, and this diagram would generate the second term. And if you look at the bottom mass, bottom quark mass, the first term is the usual term which you have, and the second term comes from the loop corrections, and this term will be proportional to VU, the uptype web. So if you take VD common, so you get VU by VD, which is tan beta. So it means that the loop corrections are enhanced by a factor of tan beta. So the loop correction is proportional to alpha S mu tan beta over M sus Z. And if your mu is of order M sus Z, then you can see that the correction is of order 1. Alpha S times tan beta is, if tan beta is, let's say, 30 or 40, this is a huge number. So the perturbation theory is now not in alpha S, but alpha S tan beta. And we should find a way to resum to all orders in alpha S tan beta. And this is not so difficult, because this was the one loop diagram. If you try to generate two loop diagram, that is alpha S squared tan beta squared, there is actually no diagram. So it's the resummation is very easy. And so the final result is that the Yukawa coupling gets modified according to this expression. And then we computed the full supersymmetric UCD corrections to this semi-inclusive process. These are the two papers, and these are some of the Feynman diagrams. So we considered two cases, depending on the Skork mass matrix, this bottom mass matrix. So you know that for the top mass matrix, the off-diagonal terms can be very important. They can be very large because of the top mass sitting there. For the bottom mass matrix, even though you have the bottom mass sitting there, but you have this factor XB, which is proportional to mu tan beta. And if you take, for example, tan beta 40 or 50, then MB times tan beta is of the order of like M top. So these can become important, the off-diagonal terms, even in this bottom mass matrix. So we consider two cases, the maximal mixing and the minimal mixing. In the maximal mixing case, these off-diagonal terms are large. And in the minimal mixing, they're small. And this plot is showing you the variation of of the mixing angle. So this is all fine, but this is not what the experimentalists use when they give you the exclusion plots. So they use what is called delta B approximation, which now I'm going to explain. And I'll also explain how much of these SQCD corrections are accounted by the delta B approximation. So what the delta B approximation is, in the effective Lagrangian approach, we had rescaled our bottom Quark-Yukawa coupling by this factor. So what experimentalists do is they calculate the standard model cross-section and just rescale it with this factor. And that is the MSSM cross-section. And these include only the resummed large tan beta effects, not the full one-loop calculation. And just to give you an idea, how much the light CP even Higgs boson bottom core coupling changes. So, so this is in the non-decoupling limit. You have a factor of 33 as compared to standard model. And as you go to the right, you're moving towards the decoupling limit, but still the rescaling factor is pretty large. And in the complete decoupling limit, it can be as high as 3. So you can see that the MSM cross-section is 30 times 30, the standard model cross-section.
This is inclusive, or are these tagged
bees?
I mean, the ratio probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, they are just rescaling by this factor, so it's just a ratio.
Oh, sorry, for their table, absolutely.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference.
And so we defined this approximation as the improved bound approximation, and then we plotted the difference between the full SQCD correction and the improved bound approximation. Improved bound approximation is just the rescaled, is the delta V approximation. And we actually find that it agrees pretty well. And most of the parameter space, the SQCD corrections is less than 2%. So experimentalists are doing it right. But
sorry, the x-axis, I'm right, right-handed spot? Just having trouble reading it on the screen.
It has to be this one.
Okay.
And ML is fixed for the two cases using these conditions. I think it was ML is written on the so ML is fixed to be 700 GeV. And M right is varied, and we have given this plot for two gluino masses. So we wanted to understand why this approximation works so well. So we actually expanded the amplitude in inverse powers of M SUSY. So M SUSY is just the scale of these soft masses. And we did it for both the cases. And we found that the terms which are not already included in the improved bound approximation are suppressed by factor of M electroweak squared by M SUSY squared. So these terms are suppressed. There's no kinematic dependence on these subleading terms. So there's no STU dependence on these terms. There's only, if there was, then there would, the approximation would fail. So this is, this plot is giving you, so this kappa max signifies how much the deviation is from the IBA approximation. So for small values of R, which is smaller values of gluino mass, there would be a parameter space where this approximation is not valid. But for, but given the collider bounds, it is, we can assume that in most of the parameter space, IBA works pretty well. So this brings me to the conclusion that Higgs production in association with bottom quark is an important mode for very large parameter space in MSSM. And the SUSY QCD corrections can be very large for large tan beta effect because the bottom quark Yukawa coupling rescales by large factor. And the large tan beta corrections have to be resummed. And SUSY QCD corrections are dominated by this rescaling effect. So this delta B approximation actually works pretty well. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
So out of curiosity, have you seen this weird little excess Hebbertron with the 3D final state where they look at multi-jet events, but they require, I think, at least 3B tags in the final state, and then they look for the invariant mass of the two hardest jets, mm-hmm. and they find an almost 3 sigma bump around 140 GeV, I'm just wondering if you've looked at that, whether that could somehow fit into a modified calculation of this process.
So where would the
Or just to put it a different way, can you significantly change the Higgs production rate in this framework to affect 140 GeV Higgs?
First of all, it would be very difficult to get 140 GeV Higgs in MSSM.